I want to say one thing before I jump into my new series. We're going to be looking at the Christmas story in Luke. We don't always do that, but something I want to look at this year I've never talked about at Christmas. So if you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 1 while you're going there. Let me just tell you this. I started saying this last week. Thank you for those of you who responded. I know maybe some of you weren't here or you still were wanting to, but we are looking at it. Things are always subject to change a little bit, but the first Sunday we're thinking that we're hoping and aiming and planning for being in our new building is Sunday, February 4th. We'll definitely keep you posted as weather or any kind of delays would affect that, but we're not talking about something that should affect it drastically. I would hope not, so we're aiming for the 4th. They're hoping to have us in our building a few weeks before that, so we're kind of creating a little bit of a buffer, but as part of that move-in, we have saved literally tens of thousands of dollars because we're a church and because you're such great people and people saying all the time, you know, we want to help and you've got skills and also we think that that's what it means is for us to come together and work on this together, and I want you to have ownership of this building. So I put about 8 or 9 categoried lists out at our serve tent. Some of them are not specialty skills at all, like just, man, if you can help us move our office, you can help us move boxes, pack up things, move our desk. That is a gigantic endeavor as it was 2 years ago. We have stuff stored in someone's basement. We have stuff stored at our other church campus that Dan planted there at Swift Run. There's stuff kind of everywhere that we had to get rid of while we moved out of our building. And so we need help with that. If it's just, man, you can help lift, or you can even, there's things there that aren't even heavy work. If you can do that, you don't have a bad back, or even if you have a bad back, there's other things you could do. But then there's also a lot of skilled labor. If you have those specialties, even if you're not full skilled, but just have a little bit of background information with like networking, IT type stuff, electrical things. So we're going to be installing and mounting all of our own screens and televisions, and there's a couple guys in our church that have really been helping us out a lot, and they're going to do all the terminations and all the comm lines, and what else? I mean, there's staining, there's painting, there's just general construction, and so if you can help us in those ways, there's 8 signups in the back, 8 different categories. We haven't called anybody yet. We will over the next couple weeks. These jobs will probably start up. Probably a little after Christmas. There might be a couple things that happened before, but a little after Christmas. And we just wanted a list to be able to pull from once someone says, and a lot of times it ends up being last minute. The builder says, hey, this needs to get done. And these lists really help us out. Just send you an email or call and, hey, can you come and help? Doesn't mean you can do it every time. We know that. But just saying, hey, I'm available. These are my skills. So you'd really be able to help us out if you don't mind going to the back at the serve tent. We'd love that. And we're just getting really excited to have you move in. They're almost done painting the building, and they're going to start doing the floors tomorrow, and so things are moving along, so it's very exciting. So anyway, we obviously are here now in December, and always get a chance to talk and focus on Christmas, and just like Easter, not things that we should just talk about once a year, I know, but you can't help it as you go into the season, and so we're going to be looking at kind of a different perspective of Christmas than I've ever had a chance to talk about before. But when you think about Christmas, when you just think about the season, the holiday in general, what are some of the things that come to mind? I know it's a big room and people don't want to probably yell out, but what do you think about? I mean, Jesus, obviously, okay, that's always the safe answer in church. But what else do you think about? We won't think you're a bad person if you don't think about that. What do you think about? Stockings, you think about Christmas trees, you think about snow. What else do you think about? You can yell it out. But what? Yes, family, yeah, yeah, everyone gets nice, yeah, I've seen that not happening in the stores, images that come to mind, fireplaces, snow, mistletoe, if you're single, mistletoe, if you're married, you need to go get it, stockings, Santa, I mean, all these kind of things, right? I mean, just all these images that they conjure up in our mind for Christmas. What I want to talk about is something that we don't often think about. Have you ever had, you know, something that you've done or been a part of and you're not really sure what it is, but like something's just missing? This happened to us at Thanksgiving. I totally dropped the ball on one of the most important ingredients for a Thanksgiving meal, which is not the turkey. I mean, that's important. Yeah, okay. But you have to have the cranberry sauce that, you know, comes out of the can. I mean, does anybody else feel that way? Like I don't know. I'm not even sure that there's even cranberries in that thing, but it's burgundy color and jelly, and I've had that my whole life growing up, and so has our whole family, and so my wife made this really, really good cranberry stuff dressing kind of thing on her own, and her sister, and I think even Daisha, everyone made, that came over to our house, made this like special cranberry thing, but yet all of us were like, yeah, but where's that like jelly thing in the can? Because you just, you got to have a slice of it, or it doesn't feel like Thanksgiving happened, and I totally forgot about it, and by the time I remember, Giant was closing, and we just packed up. I mean, none of us ate. No, I'm just kidding, but it didn't feel right, like, something's just missing. Something's missing. When you have a family and you have kids, you leave the house and you always feel like something's missing, and you just don't figure it out till later. But to me, when I think about the Christmas story, what we're going to be talking about the next 4 weeks, and probably tying a little bit into our Christmas Eve service. I hope you can make it to the Christmas Eve service at 5 p.m. Our kids have been practicing for a few weeks now, and it's going to be great. They're going to really do a great job. But for the next 4 Sundays, we're going to be looking at something I think is missing from the Christmas story. I mean, if I asked you, we don't have time, but if I asked you, just keep listing. What do you think about when you think about Christmas? I would venture to say that it would take a long time, if we would ever say what I think should be much more prominent, because it's prominent in the Bible, about what took place at Christmas, and that is, we got the name of it behind me, the spirit of Christmas. And I'm not talking about having Christmas spirit or the spirit of the holidays. We'll come back to that. I'm talking about actually the Holy Spirit, which is actually plays a very prominent role in the story of Christmas, and yet he's virtually missing. To me, he's like the conductor of this great symphony that is taking place, the greatest event that's ever happened in our world, no debate about it. It changed our calendars, and even though we want to change BC and AD to something else, the entire history of our world is broken down in the segment of before Jesus came and after he came. It has changed our world more than anything else. And to me, the Holy Spirit is like this great conductor who's just moving the pieces and organizing all of this. And yet, he's like missing in action. He gets no credit, which he's okay with. But I want to talk about his role. So think about it this way. When you think about Christmas carols or Christmas songs, I double-check this. And if I'm wrong, you can tell me. But I'm pretty sure I'm correct. Joy to the World, mention the Spirit, no. Away in a Manger? No. Hark the Herald Angels Sing? No. O Come, All You Faithful? No. O Holy Night? No. O Come, Emmanuel? No. Silent Night? No. I mean, I don't know. I couldn't keep going. Where in the world is the Holy Spirit in the songs that we sing and in the things that we do and we talk about? Virtually non-existent, other than the Spirit, lowercase s, Christmas Spirit, that we talk about, that should be in the air, where people are supposed to be nice, if you will. But I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. And so the Gospel of Luke mentions 5 different times in this narrative of Jesus' birth, people that are being touched, filled, and the Holy Spirit coming upon them. And this is a major, major theme for him that he runs throughout the rest of his Gospel of Luke, and then even into the book of Acts that he wrote. But you have chapter 1 and 2, and 2 doesn't even, it's not even the whole of chapter 2, and it's only the few verses into chapter 1. In that short amount of time, 5 different times, he mentions the role of the Holy Spirit. And yet, for some reason, he's lost on us in our songs and in the culture. And so we're going to look at this over the next 4 weeks. Okay, so but here they are, I think, behind me. So you have Luke 1:15. You have baby John the Baptist. Let me before we jump there, the story doesn't actually start with Jesus in Luke. It starts with this man named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, and it says they didn't have children, and they were praying for a long time about having kids, and it never happened, and then Zechariah is serving in the temple, and God comes and says, you're going to have a child, and by this point they're old, and there's a lot of parallels that Luke is wanting to draw attention to the story in the Old Testament of Abraham, if you're familiar with that story. It's very, very similar and follows very closely along, and he's telling us something about that, but they can't have kids, and this angel comes and says, you're going to have a son, and Zechariah is probably like you, probably like me. He's like, yeah, right. Like, we've already got our ARP card. Like, we've moved on in life. Like, we're not having children at this point. And an angel's like, well, no, you are. And because you've failed to believe that this is still possible, you're no longer going to speak as you come out of here. And so the angel comes to them, and sure enough, they have this baby boy named John. And John is the cousin of Jesus, and they have this baby John. And not too long after, the angel now visits somebody else who has never had kids, but she's on the very other spectrum of life. She's not wondering why she didn't have kids. She's just thinking that'll happen someday because she's not fully married yet. Her and Joseph are engaged and have not consummated that marriage. So in her mind, it's impossible to have children. She's a virgin, and the angel comes and says, you're going to have a child. And she's like, what? How can that be? But her question is not like Zechariah's that questioned, like, I don't think it's possible. She just was like, how in the world are you going to do that? And the angel honors her question and says that you're going to have this child by the Holy Spirit. And then you go on, and she does, and they meet another man named Simeon when they're dedicating Jesus. So here it is, Luke 1:15, 1:35, 1:41, 1:67, 2:25. Look at all these characters. That the baby John the Baptist, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from the point of his birth. And Luke 1:35, the angel says, how is it going to happen, Mary? Well, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And Elizabeth, who's Zechariah's wife, who was also, you know, part of this and struggled, it said, about not having children, it says that when she met Mary, that the baby in her tummy leaped for joy, and Elizabeth was then filled with the Spirit. Zechariah, his father, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied after the baby was born, and he began to speak again. And then Luke 2:25, this man named Simeon, he was waiting for the consolation for Israel to come back together to be a nation again. And it says the Holy Spirit was upon him and told him to wait because you will see the Messiah. So it's interesting. Luke, in just a very short amount of time, the Holy Spirit is everywhere, orchestrating everything. And I think it's really interesting that he's kind of outside of what we normally think about in the hymns. It's probably true. Francis Chan, who became really popular and he wrote the book Crazy Love, wrote another book. Maybe some of you have read, or you may not even heard about it, but he wrote a book called The Forgotten God. And it was a book all about the Holy Spirit. And his title really speaks to something that is oftentimes true, that the Holy Spirit of the Trinity of who God is, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, he is certainly the one that most people know the least about and or just don't even know anything about. Or oftentimes, he's probably the only one of that Trinity, other than some of us who struggle with God being a Father, that people kind of just don't want to have anything to do with, or maybe he scares them. And that's a shame, because God the Father, God the Son, who's Jesus, and God who is the Spirit are all the same in one God. And if you want to try to wrap your mind around that and try to understand that, you can find some other pastor maybe or some other place that'll try to help you with that. But I don't think that's the point that we're supposed to be figured out. My kids come up to me all the time, Dad, I don't understand. How do you make babies? Wow. Okay, let's see. How do I explain that to him to have the information that he knows and can understand, right? And if for some reason we think that when we ask God, I don't get the Trinity, and we expect him to be able to explain it to us, we basically, when we think we should be able to know it, we're basically saying, I should know like you know God, and that's not possible. It's not possible. And sometimes as children, we just take what God tells us and says, this is the way it works. And we see this God who is not just one God, but he's three gods, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's very important for us to understand who this Holy Spirit is, especially when he plays such a major role in Christmas. In fact, it's the Holy Spirit that made Christmas possible. It was the heart of God to do it. It was the obedience of Jesus to follow through with it, but it was the Holy Spirit who enabled it to take place. The Holy Spirit is what made Christmas possible. Let me read it to you again in Luke 1, 34 and 35. When the angel said, you're going to have a son, Mary, she says, how can this be? She's saying, I am a virgin. It is not possible for me to have a child. And the angel answered her, well, how is it possible? The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. How was Christmas possible? How did Jesus come to earth and be born to a woman? The Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, a simple definition, if you want to have just kind of a simple, like functioning definition of the Holy Spirit, there's so many ways to define him, but in the Old Testament, the Spirit is the first and foremost, the power of God, the agent and the agency by which God gets things done. I like it, it's a simple definition, but when God wants to get something done, the Holy Spirit does it. The Father has a will, and the Holy Spirit carries it out, if you will. And so what you see here is the angel saying, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. And the power of the Most High, see, it's the power of God in this person of the Holy Spirit, will overshadow you. And this word to overshadow literally means to throw a shadow upon, to envelop in a shadow, just to kind of come and enclose her. And I want you to understand something here, that Luke is connecting at this point. You need to understand this. Luke is connecting at this point in his gospel, Luke 1 and 2, he's connecting all of the Bible together. And if you're not someone who's real familiar with the Bible, you put it this way, he is connecting all the way from the very beginning of what the Bible talks about. And what the Bible talks about at the very beginning is how the world was made. and how everything came into being. And Luke, for the people he was writing to, and in his hopes of any of us who would read it later, would make this connection too, that the Holy Spirit is this person, this part of God, who is connecting all of history. He was there at the beginning, and now he's doing something that we're going to call Christmas. And it's this word overshadowed to me that connects. I'm going to read to you Genesis 1:1-2, the very beginning of the Bible, the very beginning of the history of the world, when God made time. Time wasn't even invented yet, and God invents all of this and creates time, and he creates this world. And it says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Of course it was. There was nothing. There's nothing. And then darkness was over the surface of the deep, but the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And Luke is drawing this parallel that he is hoping that you'll pick up on, that same Spirit in Genesis 1 that God sent out to a world of void, a world of emptiness, a world of nothing, that said, I want to create something. I want to put men and women in it. I want to create this beautiful place. I want to make a world of creatures that will have a relationship with me, who I can love. And the Holy Spirit's like, ah, poop, I'm on it. And he goes out into this place, and he is hovering over this place of nothing. And then God says those famous words, let there be light, right? And what happened? There was light. And how did that happen? Well, it happens by his power, and that power is the Holy Spirit. And Luke wants you to see this. The Holy Spirit's hovering there at the very beginning, just waiting to enact the commands of God. And God said, let there be light. And then God said, let there be a division of the expanse. And then it goes on and on and on in Genesis. And it was so. And let there be now land in dividing up the waters. And it was so. And it goes on and on and on until you get to the very end, right? The culmination of creation. And what was that? Let there be life. Not just life like the animals, but now let there be life in our image. He says in plural version, let us make man and woman in our image. And the Holy Spirit and the Son and the Father are part of that creation. But Luke wants you to make this connection. When he comes to the beginning of his Gospel of Luke, and we're going to talk about Christmas, and I know this seems really deep. You're going to catch it in a minute, all right? Stick with me. But Luke comes to Luke chapter 1 and 2. Sometimes you have to catch the deep things to really grasp this, but it's simple. But he wants you to see something in Luke chapter 1 and 2 at Jesus' birth. This is not just like, well, hey, God's just, you know, kind of breaking into the world, and he's doing something because it's really bad, and now he's coming and he's sending Jesus. And even though we know that's true, Luke wants you to see something that is a continuation. That the Holy Spirit, what he started there in Genesis 1, listen, in other words, I'd say it this way. Luke is wanting you to recognize the Holy Spirit's up to something again. He's up to something again. He's hovering, he's overshadowing this world, and he's ready to do it again. He's ready to come and enact what God wants to have happen in this world, to come and be God's power. How is this possible? Because the God, through his Spirit, who created the world out of nothing, can simply create a baby inside of your belly, Mary. He's done it before, and he's getting ready to do it again. Catch this. He's moving upon this world as God's command, creating life. So when we think about, and I hope I challenge or make you think differently for the rest of your life. I know that's a bold thing, but not me, the Holy Spirit. But whenever you think about the Christmas spirit, instead of just thinking about merry and jolly and giving, I pray you think about the Spirit that made Christmas possible. And you know why that is so important? I mean, I told you, get real light here really quick. You know why it's so important? Because let's be honest, it's not all merry and jolly and happy all the time, is it? Right? Let me show you a picture here of the Chester family last Saturday. We're cutting down the Christmas tree. I mean, that is what a pastor's family looks like, doesn't it? I mean, we're just happy. We were praying together that the Lord would lead us to the perfect tree on the way there. And here's the next picture, and we found it. And I mean, look at us. I mean, we are excited and we're happy. But what you don't see on Facebook and Instagram is all the pictures in between, right? And unfortunately, my wife didn't take very many of them, but she got one. Go ahead and go to the last one. Let's leave it here. That you can't really tell, but she's crying because she's in timeout, right? Because we're getting ready to leave to go get the tree, which is everyone's favorite thing. They say, we can't wait to go get the tree, right? But nobody wants to put their shoes on or get their jackets on, and they're running around. And in the season of jolliness, if you don't get in the tree right now, we won't have a tree. You know what I mean? Like, that's Jerry, not me. I mean, I'm praying, Jesus. And so we finally get in the car, and that's not it, but one of our kids brought a plastic gun, and so they're fighting as I'm putting on the Christmas music. It's like you build up this idealistic little, like, Christmas spirit, right? And they have a plastic gun that they're fighting over, a plastic gun, as we're trying to go pick out a Christmas tree for Christmas. And as we finally, like, turn the music up so loud that we will have joy to the world, and I am not exaggerating, and Jerry and I are talking in the front, and I brought up to her, I said, you know, it's funny, like, because her parents had left the day before, and I said, it's really funny, you know, your parents, you know, didn't stick around and come get the tree with us. And she's like, yeah, I don't know, I'll have to call them, whatever. And so we're kind of talking, it's not all connecting there. And so then we get to the place to get a tree, right? And one of our kids is like, this is the one. And then the other one's like, no, this is the one. And we're like, well, let's keep looking. No, this is the one. And I don't know that we're going to get that one. It's a little too tall. That one's a little too fat. And now they're crying because, no, this is the one we have to have. And my wife looked at me and said, this is why my parents don't come to pick out a tree, right? And so her and I are fighting. I don't even know over what. People are walking by. Hey, like, yeah, we're the pastors. And Jerry and I are fighting, our kids are crying, Ashton's in timeout. It's just like, why do we do this again, right? And then eventually you rally together and then go back one. You just look like, hey, Christmas, we got our tree. But you just, then you get there, you go, and you just look all happy. There's the gun, you can see it in her hand. And I'm so grateful for that in the history of the Chester home picking up the tree in 2017. Okay, go back to Ashton in timeout. Here's where I know you're thinking I was going really deep as I'm talking about Genesis, but here's the point. Here's the point. The Holy Spirit came into a world that was void and empty, and he created life out of it. And here he comes again into the earth several thousands of years later, and it's not empty, but it's void. It has lots of void of life. It's full of destruction. It's full of brokenness and pain. And the Holy Spirit comes and he hovers over Mary and he says, I'm going to start over again. I'm going to take this world of emptiness and void and I am going to create again. But I'm not going to create just any old person. I am creating the Son of God who's going to come and he is going to bring life to this world like God intended from the very beginning. He is going to come and restore and renew the things that have been taken from you and me. And Luke wants you to catch this, that this is not just Jesus coming in, and that's a great story, but he wants you to see the continuity that the Holy Spirit, who got it all started by the will of the Father through Jesus, is now carrying out that will of the Father through the Son once again. And what he's looking for is people's lives, not just Mary's to overshadow, but what he's looking for is people's lives, anyone whose life is void and empty. And he wants to come and hover, and he wants to overshadow it. And he wants to bring life, to your darkness. He wants to bring this into your life. And so there's another aspect that's missing. It's not just the Holy Spirit who's missing at Christmas, but you need to understand this. There's another aspect, I think, that we oftentimes miss in the Christmas season, and guess what that is? Even almost easier. It's you and me. We almost view the Christmas story, and I'm not talking about the Christmas season. We all participate in that one way or another. But I'm saying the Christmas story of what happened in Jesus, we kind of view that as just observers. Oh, that's awesome. Look what Jesus did for us. But I got news for you. Luke is doing something else with the Holy Spirit to not only just say the Holy Spirit, you like this, is not just the spirit of Christmas past. That's good. And not just the Christmas present when Jesus was born, but he's also the spirit of the Christmas future, yours and mine. That we're not to just tell the story disconnected, reading it like a narrative, that's really neat what Jesus did, but because Luke is emphasizing the Holy Spirit, he is pulling you and me into it. Those who have accepted Jesus and now have his spirit, guess what? We have become players in this. That just like these five people were touched and filled and the Holy Spirit came upon them, God wants to fill us and touch us with his spirit and continue to hover and move and heal and create in other places and other people's lives through you and me. He is inviting us into the story, and we don't usually think of it in that way. But Luke is drawing this parallel all the way through. Man, that same spirit over there who started everything started it again in Jesus. And then guess what? Luke will say in Acts 2, 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost came, that was just a few weeks after Jesus had gone and went to heaven, they were all together, all those disciples in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind, very, very much Old Testament symbolism of the Holy Spirit, once again kind of bringing this continuity that that Spirit in the past is now coming. And he filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Luke is going to write this just at the very beginning of his next book. And so Luke is not crazy here. He's a doctor. He writes methodically, and he is wanting you to pick up on this, church. That Christmas is not just one-time event, but it is what God is redoing of what got messed up in the beginning. And so if Christmas is gloomy and terrible and a heartache or hard, well, I got good news for you. There is his Spirit hovering over your life, over your heart, and he is wanting to come and overshadow you and to fill you and then to turn that into what we now go and do, what Jesus did for us. The Holy Spirit is not done filling people, and he wants to create new people. We are part of the Christmas story. So in other words, here's a little line for you. In the New Testament, the Spirit anointed Jesus to accomplish his mission, and then he was given to the followers of Jesus to carry on, fulfill his mission until he returns. We do all of it by the power of the Holy Spirit. So speaking of Christmas holidays and Thanksgiving, I don't know if you were like this when we were growing up. There was like the main table. I grew up in California, not around here, but our family's pretty small. There's when we all got together, it was like 18 of us, I know. And so we would all get together for Thanksgiving, and there was like the main table, right? And it could hold pretty much everyone except for, anybody have this, the card table? Like we set up the card table over there, right? And I always thought that was just because there wasn't room for us at the big table. But now that I have children of my own, I'm like, no, you set up the card table to keep the kids away. Like, I mean, if I could, you'd go in the other room, shut the door, put plastic around, and go ahead and have fun, right? But that, we were always at the card table. And I'll never forget that. Like, the moment that I was old enough to come to the table, which probably just meant one of my cousins had left for college and now there was room at the table. But it was, you're over at the card table, not the real table. Listen. You are at the table. And Christmas is not something that you are an observer over here. But Luke, as we look at this over these next 4 weeks, wants to invite you into the Christmas story. That the Father, through Jesus, by the power of his Spirit, is renewing the world. Because it started as nothing. It was beautiful. Sin took over and made it broken. And now we see the violence, the racism, the sexual abuse, the sexuality, all these things happening in our culture. And God looks down and said to Mary, I got to, you know, this, even these stories of sexual abuse, this didn't start 10 years ago. You all know this. And he looks down on this world of brokenness and pain and says, man, it almost looks as bad as it did at the beginning. And the Holy Spirit comes down and he overshadows someone and he creates a new race in the Son Jesus that would be the new creation of our lives that we would know through Jesus. But then he doesn't stop there and he says, now you be filled with the Spirit. And you continue that creation just like Jesus did through you because of the Holy Spirit. So, really quick, and I know I don't have a lot more, but this is a big intro because I need you to catch this for the next 4 weeks. But the next 4 weeks are this. This is like our Advent season. We're just going to do it in our messages. But week one, we're going to look here in just a moment and finish with the baby John the Baptist. Next week, we're going to look at Zachariah and Elizabeth and the fact that God, through the Holy Spirit, renewed them, people who had lost their joy and lost everything of their excitement, and were full of shame and just lack joy. We're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit fills us and refreshes us. In week three, we're going to look at Simeon, who had been waiting and waiting and waiting and had the encouragement by the Spirit that the promise would be fulfilled. And we're going to talk about reawakening some of those things that God has spoken to us, like Simeon. And in week four, Christmas Eve morning, we'll look at Mary and how God wants to do the impossible, and he does that through the Holy Spirit. So we're just going to look here for the end of this week here at John the Baptist. So I want to read you a little further. I just wanted you to kind of catch the picture of where we're going, but also of what those four things are. And I think I did have a slide of that. Now we moved on. Okay. So Luke 1, verse 12, I want to look at the story here of Zechariah. When Zechariah saw him, talking about the angel, I'm just going to jump in. We don't have time to look at the whole thing. He was startled and gripped with fear. We'll look more about what was happening there with Zechariah. But he was in the temple in the Holy of Holies doing his priestly duties. And the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. So other than Jesus, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, this is a new thing. No one's ever been born full of the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Okay. So we're going to look at this role of the Holy Spirit here that we see because of John the Baptist. And it's really kind of simple. It just says it here that his job is preparation, to proceed, to go on ahead, and to make preparation. And I didn't think I'd have time, but you can look. There's several references in the Gospels and also in Micah and Isaiah where it talks about that Elijah, this figure that, like Elijah, who was an Old Testament prophet, would come before Jesus and he would prepare the way. He would precede him and prepare him. In other words, if you think about it this way, the Holy Spirit is like the advance team. If you've ever heard about it, I've read some articles. It's been a long time, but if you've ever read like what happens when the President of the United States shows up somewhere, I mean, it's incredible. Have you ever read what the Secret Service has to do? Oh my goodness. Like if he's going to show up, especially if it's international, I mean, there's people that show up sometimes up to 6 months in advance. And they basically live there for months. And they begin to work out the plan and the route and where the Holy Spirit, or Holy Spirit, where Donald Trump is not the Holy Spirit. Let me just tell you that. He needs a little bit more of the Holy Spirit. But anyway, so wherever the president's going to go and move, I mean, they work this route out. And they figured out, where any weak points are, where he could be injured. They, you know, when Air Force One flies in, they do not use fuel of the destination of where they're at. Never. They fly in their own fuel, and they fuel everything, all their cars, all their vehicles, all their planes. I mean, it's unbelievable for the president to arrive because they want to keep him safe and they want to protect him. And really, it's a good way to illustrate this morning is, what does the Holy Spirit do? What is one of his roles? Is that he prepares and he proceeds. In other words, he is always, well, my first point is this, just simply 2 points, but the Holy Spirit continually draws us back to the Father. But the way he draws us back to the Father is he is always working and planning and proceeding in our hearts, making us ready for Jesus. I mean, that's why sometimes you're like, oh, I hear this all the time. And believe me, I mean, I'm glad to hear it. It makes me feel confident that I hear the Holy Spirit. I don't think it really helps me as a person, which in a good way, but people tell me all the time, oh my gosh, I cannot believe it. I just showed up today. I've been here in weeks, and then you talked about that, right? What does that mean? Oh, that's not coincidence. The Holy Spirit was here weeks in advance, preparing you. You thought it was just, you didn't have to work at the last minute, or those plans got canceled, or you weren't here for the last 4 weeks because it was just all these random things. But the Holy Spirit has gone ahead of you, and he's preparing you and preparing your heart for the reception of Jesus into your life and to continue to receive him. Verse 16, he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And I want to say that again. He will, the Spirit will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. I specifically felt in my heart as I was preparing for this that some of you, maybe many of you in this service and the next service, are people that this really applies to. That I don't know where you've been in your life or what's been going on, but the Holy Spirit, even now in this service and even in this season, is wanting to bring you back. I don't know where you've been or what happened in your life or what's been going on, but that you've been far away, you've been distant from God. At least you have. He's still tracking you down by the Spirit. But that he wants you to realize that Christmas is all about the Holy Spirit saying, let's do a rebirth of relationship. I want to bring you back. Luke 15, you know the story. I'm just pulling out a few verses of the prodigal son and the prodigal dad, really. This dad who just loves his kids. And the one son leaves and takes everything that he had for an inheritance and spoils it all. And it says the young son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country. Listen, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to feed his pigs. He longed to fill his stomach even with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father. Here's what I want you to catch here, right? Verse 13, he went off to a distant land. But guess what? He maybe thought he was far. Maybe you thought you were far. Maybe you thought you've done a lot or you've committed the most terrible sins or there's no way God forgive you. But I got news for you. No matter where you are, no matter how bad it looks, the Spirit is still hovering over those empty, void places, just waiting, waiting for you to be like Mary and say, are you ready to receive a new birth? Are you ready to receive what God wants to do? Because he wants to create something new in your life. That faraway country is what the Holy Spirit does best. That's what his job is. Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your spirit? God, I can't get away from your spirit. Exactly right. You're not far, and you have not gone too far, and you have not done too much. But the Spirit just hovers over that wasteland, that wilderness, that those words mean confusion, emptiness. And he says, I'm ready if you are. And that's why it says in verse 17, when he came to his senses. Now, I can't prove this, but I'm just going to say it anyway. It's not anything bad, but I can't prove this. But when he came to his senses, we could think like, oh, he finally got so bad he turned around. But to me, when he came to his senses, there's another word for saying he finally started listening to the Holy Spirit. Right? Because the Holy Spirit never stops talking, never stops knocking. And so the Holy Spirit's telling him, like, this is really bad. You're eating pig food. Like, this is really terrible. But in our pride and in our arrogance, I'll show my dad. I'll do it my own way. And we finally, what? Come to our senses. In other words, we finally, like Zechariah, we finally say, okay, God, maybe it's possible. Maybe it's possible. And so he sat back and he goes back home. And what does he find? Oh, man, his father running to him. You know, I can't even get into this, but I had this amazing moment with a man that just started coming to our church a couple weeks ago. He didn't know God, never grown up knowing him, nothing. And he had this vision one night, and all he knew that it was God, but he didn't know what to do with it. And for a couple days, it drove him nuts. He didn't know he has no background. And so he'd heard about us or had a friend that went to our church, and he showed up here a couple months ago, and he said he came into service, and he just bawled all the way through. And he came back for 6 weeks in a row, and he never cried in his life, he said, two times when his dad died and a best friend died. And then he says, I've been crying every Sunday. And he looked at me, and he's starting to cry again in my office. He says, what's wrong with me, Pastor? And I said, absolutely nothing. You're catching up. you're tired. And he said it himself. I had all these things, and yet I'm empty. And I'm like, man, the Holy Spirit, like this is, I mean, the Holy Spirit, like when that son is heading back, when this man was walking into my office, the Holy Spirit's like, whoo, I mean, he's excited. Like this is my job. This is my job. And I told him, you know what's crazy? It was the week of Thanksgiving and I was so busy, I had already deflected like 8 or 9 appointments. I don't have time. I was in meetings all day and I'm walking by to go out to another appointment and someone said, I'm going to give this phone call to Jack. And the Holy Spirit stopped me. I didn't even know what they said, and I just knew, like, I was supposed to ask. So I turned around and asked the receptionist, what was that note? And they said, well, it was someone who wanted to talk to you, but I'm just going to send him to Jack because I know you can't meet with him. And I said, I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know what it's about, but I'm supposed to meet with him. And so I said, see if he's available tomorrow at 11:30. Sure enough, he was, and to be able to lead him to the Lord and open up his heart to Jesus. That's because the Holy Spirit is preparing. He's going before us, and he's setting the way. And for some of you, boy, he is trying to prepare you. And what he's waiting for is verse 18. Well, I will set up and go back to my father. And that word to set up literally means I will rise up and go. And he went back, and the Father, who is the picture of our Father God, grabbed him and ran after him. And God wants to do that with you. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about the Holy Spirit coming upon you and filling you and bringing the wayward sons and daughters home to the embrace of their Father. And I'll just finish with this really simply, though, but I can't ignore this. Number two, the Holy Spirit continually turns our hearts back to each other. Please see this connection, even though I'm not going to say much about it. See this connection. It says the Holy Spirit is going to draw people back to God. Then what does it say? And that the Holy Spirit would also move on the Father's hearts to their children. And it says, and I believe Micah, and the children's hearts to their father, that if God begins to reconcile and move our hearts back to him, it doesn't take but a second, and all of a sudden, he starts moving our hearts back to other people that we've left behind, and he wants us to return to them. If Daisha's back there, she can come up, and I just want to finish with this. So verse 17, turn the hearts of the parents to their children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. There's a story in the Bible between two brothers, Jacob and Esau, if you know the story. If you don't, Jacob stole the birthright. That was one of the most important things you could have had in those days, but he sold Esau's birthright. And then God took the two brothers off on a different journey, and they didn't see each other for a long time. And then one day Jacob knew that Esau was coming, and they have this amazing meeting. And I knew I wouldn't have time to read the story. It's unbelievable. Here's these two estranged brothers that haven't talked in years, and Jacob's worried that Esau's going to kill him. I mean, he took everything from him. He's so worried he's going to kill him. He's setting up all these gifts and trying to do ahead of him. And And then by the time he comes to him, Esau has held no bitterness, no grudge. He had got over it. The Bible doesn't say how. But I just wanted you to see this one verse, because this is my prayer for some of you, that not only has God drawn you back to him and to his son Jesus, but I pray that this season is a rebirth of relationship for some of you in the people's lives that mean most to you, that maybe you've had problems or things have become splintered, you've become disconnected. Listen, the Holy Spirit loves unity. He loves reconciliation. He wants to reconcile you to God through Jesus, and he wants to reconcile you to each other. And it says this, when Jacob comes across Esau, just assuming Esau was going to kill him, and then realizing he didn't, he says this, "If I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me." Because Esau said, "I don't need anything." He said, "Just accept this from me." Then he says this, "For to see your face is like seeing the face of God, now that you have received me favorably." I know for some of you, maybe someone's mad at you or they've broken off relationship. You can't do anything about that. But I know what the Holy Spirit would do, just like I did in that office that day, and I stopped and said, "No, I'm supposed to take this." You just listen to the Holy Spirit. It's all you can do. You can't change someone's mind. You can't change their heart. You can't win them over. I don't really believe on your own as much as you can just listen to the Holy Spirit, who lives, breathes, everything about him wants to bring reconciliation. And if you'll listen to the Spirit this Christmas, what seems broken, what seems empty, what seems like darkness and confusion, the Spirit's hovering. And if you'll listen to him, he's hovering over you and he wants to bring reconciliation. What a beautiful thing for those of you who it is in your seat, that you are in control, to reconcile with someone. I love that. It's like seeing the face of God. We're not meant to live fragmented, disconnected lives. I pray that the Holy Spirit would move on your heart, and that truly, that's Christmas, for you to come and start a new relationship with somebody else. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Stand to your feet. If you're here today, and I know I have you respond most every week, but I think we need to do it again. If you're here, and I'm going to talk about the second one, there's two words for me this morning as we're closing: return and reconnect. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And you understand something, with your eyes closed, listen, he will give you the power to do this, but you have to take the first step. The difference between Zechariah and Mary wasn't that she was better than him, that she had it figured out. The only difference was she said, "Okay, I'm willing to trust you to do it." With your eyes closed, all I want to know is, will you have a Mary response or a Zechariah response? If God were to tell you right now, "You know what? I want to fix that relationship with your spouse. I want to fix that relationship with your kids. I want to fix that relationship with the church. I want to fix that relationship with that coworker or that boss." "Well, how can it be? That's impossible. There's no, God's, it's possible by the Holy Spirit." The question is, are you willing? Are you willing to receive that and just trust him and do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do? If you today just feel that God is speaking to your heart about reconnecting in some way, and I'm not going to hold you to this, you don't even have to figure it out. In fact, I'd rather you not right now go, "I know what I'm going to do." No. You just want to respond to the Holy Spirit who is saying, prompting your heart, "I just want you to trust me to reconnect that situation." Would you just lift your hand to the Lord? You don't have to look up at me. Would you just lift your hand to him and leave it up for just a moment? Leave it up for a moment, okay? Oh, Father, thank you for your Spirit. And God, your Spirit is here. And Lord, your Spirit is hovering, Lord, over brokenness and void and confusion and darkness, Lord, represented by the hands we have lifted up. And Lord, in some of these cases, we're responsible, and some of them we're not. But Lord, I pray that as people have their hands lifted up, that Lord, they're being like Mary, just saying, "I don't know how it's possible. I don't know how it can be, but I pray that it would be something different, that I would just trust you." Church, you're lifting your hand because you're just saying, "I will be obedient." As much as it hurts my pride, as much as it hurts my selfishness, if God tells me to just tell them that I'm sorry or that I love them, you raise your hand just saying, "I'll just be obedient to the Holy Spirit and trust that he can do something in the void and the darkness." In Jesus' name, God, do it. Do it. You invite us into the Christmas story. Carry it through with us today. In Jesus' name, put your hands down. One more question. Nobody looking around. In fact, the last word is return. Return. In fact, let's pray this together. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming for me Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of all the times that I choose to go my own way. And whether I'm close or far away from you, Jesus, I commit my life to you today. Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I make a decision today to respond to your Spirit. Forgive me of my sins and give me new life in Jesus' name. No one looking around. We're leaving, but don't miss this opportunity. If you're someone who has never acknowledged, never really said a prayer like that before, I want you to lift your hand, but I also want you to lift your hand today if you just have lost your way and God is calling you back today. And I just want you to lift your hand, and I'd like you to look up at me. I don't think there's anything embarrassing, but I just want to know who you are, and I want to pray for you. I see you all the way there in the back. Amen. Amen. Who else? Never prayed it before, or yeah, I see you as well. Amen. Yeah, for you right there, and for you. Yeah, and for you. Yeah, amen. Amen. Who else? Yeah, for you. I want to say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Anybody else? Oh, Lord, for these that are lifting their hands, Lord, maybe some others that are just embarrassed to do it. Oh, God, come and fill us with your Spirit today. Give us new life. You sent your Son so that we could have new creation. And so we invite your Spirit to come in and do that work in us because of what Jesus did. And I thank you, God, Lord, that this is not just another Christmas day, but, Lord, for some people here right now, today is Christmas because the God of all the world has come and has now inhabited our lives. And it is now our Christmas day. And tomorrow and the next day, God, as we invite you in. And I thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.